It's 5 o'clock on a Friday afternoon. My name's Jacob.
Well, I must be Mercedes then. And we're on Community Radio 3CR with Friday Rave.
That's right. You are back with a Friday Rave on Community Radio 3CR, 855 AM, or through all the W's at 3cr.org.au.
Or through your Preston ceiling fan or your surveillance chopper in the sky.
Or just through your from your air-conditioned offices up there in the ASIO headquarters, listening in.
Yeah, we're talking to you, ASIO man. We're talking to you. But we'll get to that. It's a hard day today.
Yeah.
And the elephant in the room is the massacre in Bondi. And I think we don't need to say, but of course we will say, that we abhor this kind of violence. There is nowhere, under any circumstances whatsoever, should we do anything other than abhor and almost throw up in disgust at the idea of people standing on a footbridge mowing down people at a public event at the park or the beach.
Or anywhere for that matter.
Anywhere. However, that being said, and it's not a disclaimer, it's not just covering our asses, it's how we actually feel.
Yeah, absolutely.
In much the same way. Oh, look. But that doesn't mean that we should follow the rest of the mainstream media's output and lead in treating the Bondi massacre in a similar vein to how they treated the 7th of October 2023. Like, this had no precedent, no background, no nothing else.
In isolation from anything else.
In isolation, anything happening anywhere else on the planet. All right, this, we're not the people to politicise it. Okay, it's been politicised by the right, it's been politicised by the Zionist movement, it's been politicised by Israel, left, right and centre. And here's the thing, this is what's happening in Australia right now. That when they want to politicise something, when something happens that works into their narrative, they politicise the arse out of it. As soon as we say, hey, maybe, listen, people will jump on us and say, oh, you're politicising people's tragedies. No, we're not. They are.
They are, and they have from the moment straight after.
Yeah, from the second. It's crazy. So we want to raise a couple of issues about it. All right, the first one I want to raise, as some people may know, I have a background in organising events. I even have they're out of date now, but I even have qualifications in organising security for large-scale public events. Now, what strikes me is this event was organised by Hubbard House and by Waverley Council. Now, we're told in the aftermath that people have been warning that public events of Jewish people are going to be attacked. And yet, Waverley Council organise, and they organise it, it's their logo on the posters inviting people to come, they organised an event for thousands of people to a place where there was no escape routes. There was no police presence. I mean, it turns out there were three police there. And let me tell you, for people who don't know Bondi, there would always be three police patrolling that area around Bondi. That's like saying...
It's part of the course, really.
Part of the course. It's like saying there are only two police at a Palestine rally. No, there are always police at that end of Swanston Street.
Yeah.
All right? They were just there by the by, I mean, for a start, if this was happening and there were no extra police or no details put in, I want to know what the New South Wales Police Association is doing to represent their members who were shot and killed in Bondi, where they were probably just on a routine patrol and not given the appropriate training or arms or any other protocols to deal with the situation. Now, I'm not saying that Waverley Council or Hubbard House should have anticipated that there'd be crazy gunmen on the walkway shooting people. But I'll tell you what, if I was organising an event like that, I wouldn't think there might be some crazy gunmen, but I would assume that there would be some people from the other side of politics holding up a flag or throwing stink bombs or making a ruckus.
Or a banner.
Or a banner or anything like that.
For any event.
For any event. And if I was looking at, like when we went to St Kilda last year, all right, from the river to the sea march. I went there 3 or 4 times in the week before, walking around, walking this route, walking that route, looking for where people could be hiding, looking for where Zionists could be congregating. And I had set protocols about what would happen, where the escape routes would be, blah, 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 were we attacked. And that's not because I'm special. That's just a professional approach to event organising.
And we were all briefed on what that would look like, so we were all prepared.
Exactly. And if I were doing that at Bondi, I would see that footbridge, and the first thing I would do, especially if I were Waverley Council, would be close off access to that footbridge.
Mm. And then you have to ask in terms of looking at ASIO. ASIO has almost $750 million budget.
Absolutely.
And every other week, we've spoken about it plenty of times on this show, that every other week, Mike Burgess and the AFP, but even on behalf of ASIO, that's not including ASIS or...
ASIO, ASIS, AFP, Defence Intelligence Organisation, the Australian Federal Police. Oh, mate, we got intelligence organisations coming out of our arse in this country.
Yeah, that, with the largest budgets in history ever.
Mm.
And they have absolutely silent. In fact, they investigated one of the gunmen 5 years ago with links to ISIS and come up short. And in a time where every other week Mike Burgess is out making public disclaimers and talking about how the threat level, like something is going to happen, that they're working hard. They need these budgets to ensure we know that ASIO target our communities. We know that our friends are getting doxxed. The places that we frequent are getting doxxed online. We know that there are intelligence operatives within the movement working to undermine a call for an end to genocide.
Oh, people getting picked up on old warrants and all kinds of things.
All kinds of things. And they're focusing their energy on this, and then two gunmen get on this bridge and murder 15 people, and ASIO, it's like they were turned the other way.
Yeah. And they knew that this couple of blokes were associated with ISIS. And I think we need to point out that ISIS is ideologically opposed to Hamas and Hezbollah, all right?
And anything with Iranian backing.
And anything with Iranian backing.
Absolutely.
All right. So, and not that I've suggested that the Palestine movement in Australia has backing of Hamas and Hezbollah associated, but this is what they're always accusing us of.
Yeah.
It's like the boogeyman. They can't even get their differentiate between their own boogeymen.
Yes.
You know, this
and already politicising it by trying to draw links between the Palestine movement and, you know, Gillian Siegel. The first thing we said was because it was the march across the bridge. Benjamin Netanyahu has said it was because of Australia's recognition of Palestine. This had nothing to do with the Palestine movement in Australia.
Absolutely not.
Absolutely not.
Absolutely not. And look, no one should claim to know the motivations of the two, Let's just say what they are, crazy fuckers, murderers, who stood on that footbridge and murdered people. Mm-hmm. No one can claim to know their motivations. And whatever motivations, even if they were, even if we find out next week that they'd left a thesis, a manifesto. Of why they did it, it's not, so what? Who cares? You don't do that. You don't do it in Bondi, you don't do it in St Kilda, you don't do it in anywhere in the world. All right? It's not. But neither do you take those people's suffering and politicise it.
And use it for political gain or for a funding increase. Well, that's where you've had an abject failure.
That's the other thing. I mean, this is the thing that's happening with ASIO. Every time they get more and more and more and more money, and every time they fail miserably, they get more laws and more money. It's almost like it's in their interests to fail.
Mm.
It's craziness. And I'm talking to you, ASIO man, sitting in your government beamer or whatever it is, air conditioner. We're sitting in the back of a landlord rip-off rental in Melbourne, sweating our bloody asses off in this heat, talking over the radio on a Friday morning. So it's happened in the last couple of hours. Again, we apologise. We're not doing it live today. But that ASIO agent sitting there,
listening to our little radio show.
Listening to our radio show, looking at, doxing our organisations, getting into our computers, following our comrades around, organising dawn raids with the police of people in our community. Well, these fuckers, they know they're associated with ISIS. They know that they went just last month to Mindanao.
They know that they had access to six long arm fire rifles, rather.
Long arms, yeah.
Long arms.
And they were licensed. And they know that. But hang on, ISIS aren't a problem anymore, are they?
No. I think one of the former ISIS leaders is now the leader of Syria.
Yeah, and he was just sitting in the Oval Office.
Mm.
So, I mean, this is, now we're also seeing the backlash.
Yeah.
At the commemoration on the beach the other day, a Jewish woman in mourning, an elderly woman, decided she'd wear her Mogan David, Star of David, along with a kefir to the commemoration, and she was abused, she was heckled, she had police having to escort her out.
Well, she was threatened with arrest.
Threatened with arrest.
For simply stating that the presence of Israeli flags made that event political.
Yeah. Why were there Israeli flags? As I say, it's not us to conflate Judaism with the State of Israel. And many, 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 many Jews around the world are against, the Israeli government, the Israeli state's claim that they represent all Jewish people. It's just not true. It'd be like the Vatican claiming to represent me because I was baptised and brought up in the Catholic Church.
Mm.
It's absolutely
absurd.
Absurd. All right?
Absolutely absurd.
And yes, and I still do, just for those who say it's different, these people are culturally Jewish, so I'm still culturally Catholic. I am. I still eat fish on Fridays.
Well, and I think, as we were saying, with what we're going to see is the increased in ASIO budgets. They're already happening. And now also Mossad are involved in the investigation.
Well, now, here's another point. After this happened, what's this other organisation? Zaka
have deployed teams from South Africa and Israel and have been granted access into the restricted area to work alongside, at the behest of Tony Burke and Chrissy, head of AFP. Chrissy Barrett.
Yep.
Have been granted access to the restricted area
with their equipment.
With their own equipment.
So this is another like...
And for those that don't remember, Zaka are the same organisation that made the claims that have been proven to be false about the 40 beheaded babies.
Yeah, and the people raped and all the rest of it. When we find out the only people being raped as a result of October the 7th were the
Palestinian
prisoners, is what we've since found out.
And so, even separate to that, but the idea that there is now a offshore organisation
beholden to a foreign government
and working independently with its own equipment in investigating with access to the scene of this horrific crime.
Now, what part of Australian law enables an Australian government to call on, or whether they called on or they were called on, makes no difference, to authorise Foreign Intelligence Service to bring their own equipment and have expedited access to help? I mean, what is there to help to work out? The two blokes open fire, they kill people, they got the two blokes. What are they looking to do?
If it
now?
Was specific cultural duties in regard to how that's dealt with, I think that, you know, that's one thing. But in terms of the investigation.
Yeah, that's right. And when you say specific cultural duties, I was going to say it was organised by Hubbard House. All right? So let the people from Hubbard House organise it. But I've just got to say here, right? And look, I first come across Hubbard House when they opened their new community centre in Melbourne. And I was contacted by left... I just arrived in Melbourne. 2000, 1999 might have been. I just arrived in Melbourne and I was contacted by people from the left wing of the Jewish community, the Jewish Democratic Society, I think. I don't know whether they're officially involved, but those people who got in touch with me and said, can you help us organise a protest at Chabad House, the Rebbe Lubavitcher's organisation, because Benjamin Netanyahu, and I said, where is this? They said, Caulfield. I said, I don't know you from shit. You're ringing me and asking me to organise a protest at a synagogue. I said, nah. And I met these people. They said, you organise it, you ask me, and I will provide you with material and logistic support, sure. Yeah. All right? But I wasn't going to be set up.
But
like that.
I mean, I think it's worth noting that regardless of who the organisers were, not suggesting that the people there are in any way, shape,
the people
or
there,
form
but
affiliated.
The organisation.
Yeah.
All right, the organisation. Again, I'm not suggesting that if the Catholic Church organises something, every Catholic in the parish is in support of it or has the same view. All right? But Chabad House are the people who have been taken. What's his name? Yoav Gallant and Ben Gvir. What's his name?
Ben Gvir.
Around the world talking up Israel's right to conduct war on the Palestinian people. These are not purely religious organisations.
Mm.
These are organisations which are internationally advancing the cause of Zionism. These are organisations which support, they won't call it genocide, but which support what the rest of us call genocide. You know, as I say, they came to Melbourne, Netanyahu they invited out at a time when he had criminal charges against him, and to open the place in Melbourne. These are not independent religious organisations.
Yeah, so I mean, we'll wrap up talking about there, but you know, as we can see, and what we do know is very little. You know, we know people were murdered, horrifically murdered.
Yeah.
But we also know that
the backlash
and the politicisation of this is going to mean that things are going to get a whole lot worse and more repressive.
Yeah, already we've seen 7 Muslim men.
Or non-white men. We don't even know if they're
non-white
Muslim.
Non-white men.
Yeah.
They were portrayed by the media as Muslim. Who knows? I don't know what the official New South Wales police statement said. They were pulled over. They had their cars rammed in Western Sydney. They were dragged out of their cars, zip-tied.
Beaten.
They were bleeding and lined up, kneeling on the ground against a wall for a media opportunity shot.
With tactical team officers in head-to-toe camo with semi-automatic weapons.
Yeah, and they found no guns in the car. In two cars, there was one knife between them. Now, you know, I'm not saying they were innocent people. Maybe they were up to no good. I don't know. I'm not going to assume innocence any more than I'm going to assume guilt. All right? But this was obviously a media stunt. This was in response to you're not doing enough to crack down on pro-Palestine protest.
Yeah. And so, yeah, this was a media opportunity to go, oh, look, we are doing enough and let's do it in the most loudest way possible.
Yeah. And we're going to see more of that between now and when we're next talking to you, people. So those of you, I'm going to address this last statement and we'll move on to another subject, I think. Those of you involved in the pro-Palestine movement who are advocating for worldwide peace and harmony, who are abhorring genocide and murder in all its forms, you need to start taking precautions with the way you treat your social media, your communications, with everything you do, because it is coming down, folks. And the other type of person I want to speak to is that weaselly little arsehole of an ASIO prick sitting in his car or his office in Russell Street, making a squillion, telling the world and his family that he's making Australia safe by monitoring people like Mercedes and I.
Now, we know on a Friday rave, it often feels like doom and gloom. It definitely does for us, and it probably does for you airwaves as well. But what we, you know, there is an importance and a responsibility that we have to talk about the things we do on this show. And that informs what justice and accountability means in terms of these motherfuckers who are murdering people.
Yeah. And we get frustrated and we feel the pain and we lose our tempers. And for listeners who don't know, there's no reason. It's not even, not in my way of excuse or anything, but just to, you know, I'm currently in plaster and on walking sticks and shit. And so I'm sort of feeling the pain, physical pain and the emotional pain feed off each other. But it's very important, if we're talking about peace and justice and human rights, to say that we need those of us who have some freedoms. It's almost incumbent on us. It's our responsibility to exercise them, to smell the roses, to go down to the beach in this sweltering hot summer and let the seagulls spit the chips out of our newspapers.
Yeah, to go down to Yarra Bend and watch the bats do their nightly journey up the river.
To spend time with family and friends. And look, we've got a long summer ahead of us. And here on a Friday rave, we're going to be doing other episodes as well. We're going to be going right through as Friday as normal. But we're also going to be doing one-hour slots, 9 o'clock on a Saturday, taking the place of Asia Pacific Currents and Palestine Remembered for the summer break, where we're going to be talking to people like Clinton Fernandez and Scott Ludlam about and getting into some of the deeper politics and reasonings behind the issues we're facing. And that's not part of a Friday rave, but it sort of is. But I've also just recently done an interview with one of my heroes, Leon Russellson. And he'll be on rotations on the 4th of January for an hour-long show. And as much as anything, I want to point out one of Leon's words of, you know, bringing the news from nowhere. We must cherish the fields and the woods and the rivers, for if we defile our home, what then would life be worth? And it is really incumbent on us to take the time, even in our darkest times, because we're all hurting, we're all vicariously suffering from this, not just for the people, but for what it means for our society.
to take us out. We'll be back at you on Boxing Day next Friday with another episode of a Friday Rave. And Saturday kick-ons will be beginning the day after that from 9 a.m. where we have a chat to Scott Ludlam. So be sure to tune in. And to take us out, we're going to hear from the man himself, Arlo Guthrie.
Mr. Pause, Mr. Cause.
Why do you sit there so strange? Is it because you are beautiful? You must think you are deranged. Why do police guys beat on these guys? You must think Santa Claus weird. He has long hair and a beard, giving his presents for free. Why do police guys mess with these guys? Let's get Santa Claus, 'cause Santa Claus has a red suit, he's a communist. And a beard and long hair must be a pacifist. What's in the pipe that he's smoking? Mr. Claus sneaks in your house at night. He must be a dope fiend to put you up tight. Why do police guys beat on these guys?